we are going to continue in what I think is honestly kind of really one of our more important message series. I think they're all important, but I think there are times when we need to ingest certain philosophies, biblical philosophies. I don't know that that's even the right word, biblical ideals, biblical concepts that are going to help us in a season when the majority of us really need to be kind of taking this in. Does that make sense? So I may be at one season addressing marriage, and you may be in the most healthy and fruitful and prosperous time of your marriage and just go, well, this is great, it's nice, but it really doesn't apply to me. But there are times when I think that there are things that whether you think you're doing well or not in this area, there's always room for God to do more, right? When a man like John the Baptist says, I need to become less and less so that he can become greater and greater, that's a pretty good marker that you and I have the same capacity to say, I probably need to be less and less. I mean, there was really few people as holy and as committed to God as John the Baptist. And he said, I need to become less and less so that Christ can become greater and greater. There's a song that the Rolling Stones did, if I can quote the great ministers of music, the Rolling Stones. They sang a song that said, you can't always get what you want. I kind of like that song, actually. It says, but you might find that you'll get what you need. Those things usually contrast each other. The difference between what we want and what we actually need. If you ask a child what they want versus what they need, they can probably have a very short list of what they need. They don't even put any thought to what they need. If you asked a child, how long can you go without food? They wouldn't have an answer for you. They don't care, really. How long can they go without cake? They would give you a time frame, like not till the end of the day. I cannot make it till the end of the day without cake or a treat or a snack or candy or something fun. It's, you see, they think in the world of what they want. And you and I, unfortunately, sometimes never really grow out of that. We move from, and we're told, here's the dangerous part, we're told regularly, you deserve to get what you want, and don't let anyone stand in the way of your happiness. Happiness equals getting what you want. When you get what you want, when you get the relationships of what you want, you get the job that you want, you get the car that you want, you get the house that you want, you get the family that you want, you get the clothes that you want, you get all the things that you want, that's going to make you happy. Don't let anyone stand in the way of your happiness. And so you live with this mantra that you deserve everything that you want. And then here comes this biblical philosophy of less of that, more of what you need. And that scares us off because we know what you... What if your parents only got you as children Christmas presents that filled a need, not a want? Those would be terrible Christmases full of underwear and socks. Right? School supplies? Ugh. Nobody really wants what they need. They want what they want. But how many know it's a good thing when we don't get what we want all the time? Now, I want you to hear this. We sometimes associate that God is a God who's there to not give us what we want. He's kind of the parent, and we want him to be the grandparent. Grandparents give, I can't wait. Now, I've got a son who's engaged. That means he's going to be married soon. That means probably not long after that, there's going to be kids. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not ready to be a grandpa yet. I'll let my grandkids call me Uncle Chris, but they're not calling me Papa or Grandpa or a Peepa or a Poo-Poo. I don't care what cute name they come up with. It's going to be Bro, Pal, Uncle Chris. And there ain't going to be any of the grandpa stuff for a while. I'm not even in my 50s yet. No insult to those who have been in your 50s. I'm just saying I'm not ready to be a grandpa yet. I have no idea what that has to do with. But I'm going to be, when I am that grandpa, I'm going to be the worst. I'm going to be the guy that just literally lets my grandkids do absolutely whatever they want, right? Lisa and I are guardians, godparents to a couple in the church that you know have this miraculous adoption story, Matt and Ashley. And our goddaughter is Lily Bodorf. And, Ashley, you know, she wants Lily to eat all organic and wants her to eat all healthy. And I'm just like, what a horrible childhood that's going to be for that poor child. So whenever Lily's with me, I give Lily all the stuff that makes childhood fun. We were out at Old Town Pizza, has the downstairs shop too, just downtown here. And it's got ice cream in it, right? And I think my clock may be way off, Kimber. You probably need to add 10 to that, if you will. it's only got 3 minutes left. I don't think that's quite where we're at. Anyway, we're over there together, and there's kind of a crowd of us, and Matt and Ashley are off to the side, and I've got my sons and Lily over in another corner, and I've got this ice cream, and I'm just feeding Lily, and it's her first time ever having ice cream, and I'm feeding her ice cream, and of course, they didn't want to really have sugar and stuff, but I was like, what is a childhood without sugar? I believe literally God wrote somewhere in the Bible, and yea, verily, thou shalt feed thy children sugar. And so I was just being spiritual, and I was feeding it to her, and she was, and the boys had kind of created a barricade to block us from being seen by anybody, and she was going, She was like one at the time. She was like, It was just like, and just kept feeding it, and the boys just kept looking around like, hurry up, Dad, hurry up, get it all into her before somebody catches us. And I hear Matt selling me out. He's all, Ashley, I think Chris has given her ice cream right now. She's having sugar. And Lily is, Now, it's a good thing, though, that Lily doesn't live with us nonstop, because Lily would be, I don't know, 240 pounds probably as a two-year-old already, right? And she can't continue to live off of just what she wants. So I'm going to share with you three very quick things to help Christ become greater in your life by you not getting what you want. If I want Christ to become greater in me, I have to, number one, retrain my mind to want differently. Emily Dickinson famously wrote, "The heart wants what it wants." Selena Gomez, the great prophet and spiritual instructor, used that line in a song to describe, it's the chorus of the song, to describe a romance that was no good for her, but she wanted it anyway. The heart wants what the heart wants. But Woody Allen famously said the same thing when he was trying to justify his scandalous romance with Mia Farrow's adopted daughter, Soon Yi. You see, we say that when we want to rationalize and explain away why we're doing something that everyone around us and deep down inside, even us, know that it's no good for us. What can I do? The heart wants what the heart wants. In other words, I'm going to do this thing that I know is illogical, I know it's dangerous, I know it's unhealthy, I know it's something that I shouldn't be doing, but what can I do? The heart wants what the heart wants. You see, it tells us that you and I have zero control over what we want. We just want what we want. And what are you going to do about that? You got to kind of just say yes to the things that you want, or else you're saying no to happiness. But the Bible tells us, listen to me, the Bible tells us that you and I have complete control over what we want. Romans 12:2 says this, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God," circle this word, "transform you into a new person by," what? "Changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." The difference between your will and God's will for your life, what God wants for your life and what you want for your life, is that God's will for your life is good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. You and I may occasionally hit one of those three things. We'll never hit perfect. It might be good, it might be pleasing. It's often pleasing, at least at first, when we get what we want. But I want you to listen to this. You have to transform the way you think. You yourself don't have the ability to do it. You say, God, literally transform the way I think so that I want differently than I want right now. Here's how David says it in Psalm 37:4. This is probably one of my favorite scriptures. Find your delight in the Lord. I memorized it. Delight yourself in the Lord. Then he will give you everything your heart really wants. Did you hear that? What your heart really wants. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. You do that by believing this first, that nobody wants you to have a more exciting, thrilling, fulfilling, content, happy, adventurous, prosperous life more than God wants you to have. Listen, you don't want for your life as good of a life as God wants for your life. You think, you know what? I want to be happy. God wants you to be happy. But God knows how to get you to happy without regret. Number two is this. If I want Christ to become greater in me, I have to, number two, become well-practiced in yielding my will. So think of your will as your determination to get what you want. Okay? Think of your will as your determination to get what you want. We say things like this about a precocious and obnoxious child. Sure is a strong-willed boy, right? You're like, oh, you're going to have trouble with that one. Because he's not going to stop that behavior till he gets what he wants. Sure is a strong-willed boy. We even have things called wills in which we dictate to everyone else living after we've passed what we want. Not only is that what we want, that's what's going to happen because wills are legally enforceable. It's our way even after death to get what we want. We have a thing called a will so we can keep getting our way even after we're dead. It's how strong our wills are. But you know, the Bible actually has a lot to say about us and our wills and what we're supposed to be doing. I'm not talking about the legal document, our wills, but our personal will, our determination to get what we want. He's constantly pushing back on that. He actually says to husbands and wives that you should submit your wills to one another.
And then it became quiet.
Husbands and wives, in different ways, we submit ourselves to. The Bible says for husband to submit yourselves to your wives, to love her in a way that doesn't come naturally to you. And wives to submit yourselves to your husbands by respecting him when he doesn't always deserve respect. See, those are hard things. That means we don't always get our way. I mean, that's easy for Lisa to respect me. You understand that, right? But sometimes for you guys, I would imagine that's hard, wives, right? To respect your husbands, husbands to love your wives in ways that she needs to be loved, even when that doesn't come naturally and doesn't make sense to us. It pushes back on us and says, it's not always about you getting your way. He calls us to submit to spiritual leadership, even though we know spiritual leadership isn't the perfection of humanity. He says, listen to your leaders and submit to their authority over the community. For they are on constant watch to protect your souls, and someday they must give account. Give them reason to be joyful and not regret their duty, for that will be of no good to you. We're called to submit to our spiritual authority. It's tough, especially when you might see your spiritual authority the same way you see other authority, like your boss or like a teacher or like a government leader. And speaking of government leaders, the Bible even tells us. You see, sometimes it comes naturally to us. We go, all right, I get it. You know, I'm in a loving relationship with my spouse. There's a mutual benefit to submitting to one another. I understand that. And I trust them. In general, I trust them and I love them. And I know they trust and love me. So we have mutual respect and love for one another. So I can conceptualize submitting to them. And then we go, well, spiritual leader, they're looking out for me. He or she is wants the best for me and my family and my soul and they want me to be right with God, so I get that. But then God goes, I don't want you to stop there. Submitting your will then carries on into submitting to governmental and civil authority. And in a culture like today, that's going to push you and I to our very limits of submitting our will. For the Lord's sake, accept the decrees and laws of all the various human institutions, whether they come from the highest human ruler, like the president, or agents he sends to punish those who do wrong and to reward those who do well. You see, it's God's will that by you doing what is right and good, you should hush the gabbing ignorance of the foolish. What respect can the world have for you and I when they see us rebelling against authority because it rubs us the wrong way? You say, why would God want me to submit to people that really aren't worth submitting to, the people that haven't earned that role in my life, the people that haven't really, the people that do obnoxious things or people that do things that go against sort of the grain of what I believe in? Why would I submit to that? It's because you and I are well practiced at being selective in who we submit to. We have our arbitrary set of rules and we go, this person I'll submit to, this person I will not submit to. We like to selectively decide who and when we submit. You don't think that we're going to carry that same behavior into our relationship with God and our relationship with His Word? When His Word says, do this, we go, I get that, I'll do that. And when His Word says, do this, we go, I don't get that, so I'm not doing that. Right? Well, thank you. One person has got my back this morning. You can't practice selective submission. God wants us to practice submission with human authority so that we understand that there is no selection. Now, listen to me. If someone is advocating that you violate the word of God, you never submit. The word even says you submit to God's law over human law. But there is very, 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 very few times in your life in America that the law is going to contradict the law of God. There are rarely any laws that exist in our culture, in our society, in our country, in which you will be called to violate the word of God in order to submit to the law of man. And when that time comes, you have biblical permission to do it. Otherwise, you submit to human authority. So I'm going to challenge you, do a Bible study on submission to human authority. And if I'm wrong in any way, you come challenge me. I'll sit you right up here. Do we have another stool right up here? I'll sit you right up here, and you can teach us what the word says that I haven't shared with you what it says. All right? I know it's hard to swallow all that. I know it rubs us the wrong way because we think, you know what, when that president gets in office, then I'll start submitting to government. All right. Well, we'll move on to point number three. I'm more right than you're letting me believe. All right, number three. If I want Christ to become greater in me, I have to deny myself of my strongest wants. Deny myself my strongest wants. One of the lies, the most dangerous but most frequent lie we tell ourselves is that if we really, really, really want something, then God also really wants that for us as well. Because there are things that sometimes we, like at this age, I don't get a lot of stuff for Christmas from family or lease or whatever. I just say, you know, give me a gift card to Amazon. I'll figure out what I want later, right? Because I don't really know what I want right now. And so I'll get on Amazon and I'll start kind of searching around and I go, yeah, that'd be cool. And I go, not really cool enough though to spend all of my gift cards on that. And so then I'll wait a week or two and I'll get on there and I kind of go through these impulsive like, oh, you know what I really want? And I go, how often am I going to do that? Like, I've been kind of wanting a drone. I don't know why, though. Like, I just go, drone seems like a really cool thing to get. And then I go, do I really want to spend money on a drone? And I go, no, I really don't want to do it. But then there are things that I really, 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 really want. And it's amazing how I can rally God to my side on this. How I can believe that that is God's will for me as well. Because if we really want it, then God must really want that for us as well. That sounds reasonable, except I've heard people use that same logic. I know that God wants me to be happy. I really want this. I've never wanted something so badly in my life. And they're talking about something that clearly contradicts God's word. moving in with someone before they're married, or being in a sexual relationship with somebody outside of a marriage. I've had people tell me they're going to leave their spouse because this other person really makes them happy, and they really want to be happy for the first time in their life, they say. I think God wants me to be happy. I had somebody tell me that not too long back. The husband was addicted to pornography and messing around on his wife, and didn't want to leave his wife. He wanted to just continue to do this thing inside of the context of his marriage. And somebody challenged him on that and said, "Do you really think this is what God wants?" And he says, "I really think God wants me to be happy." Isn't it amazing how you can think something like that while you're destroying your family? Right? And destroying your soul from the inside out. Now, this is God's will for you, that you set apart or set yourselves apart and live holy lives. That's the will of God. Holy means set aside for godly purpose, that it's sacred, it's consecrated. Avoid putting yourself, polluting yourselves with sexual defilement. Learn how to take charge of your own body. Maintain purity and honor. Listen, our sexual desires aren't our biggest enemy. They're one of our, it's the perfect example of you and I. It's one of the best examples of you and I wanting something so badly that we'll reject all the boundaries that God's put in our life to allow us to have that and it not destroy us. Because here's the thing. Take something like sexuality. Sexuality in itself is a good, good thing created of God. Sexuality practiced outside the parameters of God is destructive. So you can take something that's very, very good and you go, well, if it's good here in marriage, it's got to be good over here in something that sort of looks like marriage. We're close enough to marriage. People say, well, it's just a piece of paper. Yeah. If it's just a piece of paper, then why don't you go ahead and get the piece of paper? If it's not that big of a deal, just go ahead and cross that line. Bring yourself underneath the favor of God. But you and I want to be able to do our things. We want to be able to have what we want when we want. And God says, no, I need you to wait on that. I need you to include that behavior only within the safety of the boundaries of the walls of marriage that protect you from using that destructively. And we go, don't tell me when I can have what my, I want this. We want what we want. The heart wants what it wants. And the Bible says the heart is above all things more deceitful than anything else. Your heart will lie to you. Your heart will destroy you. But a mind transformed by Christ wants the things of God, and the things of God for your life don't rob you of joy, they guarantee you joy. They don't rob you of happiness, they ensure happiness. The thoughts of God bring you closer to, listen, when you get closer to God, you get closer to what he wants for your life. When you get closer to what he wants for your life, you start truly want, you say, delight yourself in the Lord, and then you'll start getting what you actually want for your life. We do destructive things because they appear to make us happy, but then they leave us empty. What you really want is fulfillment, connection, intimacy, wholeness, health, happiness. We just go about it all the wrong way. Would you close your eyes with me for a second and just give yourself a moment just to reflect on what God's saying to you? If this is something God's challenging you about and you say, I want to bring my thoughts and my wants into submission to him, so that I want only the things that God wants for me. I want to truly find my delight in him, and then I know I'll get the desires of my heart. What I truly, truly want. I don't even know that I know what I want. But I know this, I want the thoughts of God and I want the wants of God in my life. If that's you, would you just stick your hand up and say, yeah, that's me this morning. Yeah, all over. Thank you, God. Help us, Lord. with the transformation of our mind. And in the transformation of our mind, you change the way we think about our spouse, about our kids, about our workplace, about our future spouse, about our dating lives, about school, about work, about finances. You change everything from the inside out. We begin to view things differently. We view ourselves differently. We view you differently. When you transform our minds, we can't help but to want the things that please you. Because God, when we stand in right relationship with you, you pour out onto us the blessings that we want and that we need. It's amazing the marrying of those two things, the communion of those two things, that we find that what we want is actually what we also need when we want what you want. So help us, God. Transform us, God. Change us from the inside out. I believe for that to begin this week in the lives of every single person who said yes, raised their hand and said, I want God to transform my thoughts and transform my wants. And I claim it for every single person as if it's already happened in advance. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.